Blog Talk Radio.
If you ain't met one by now.
Good start, Glenn. Gonna be
bad
one
timing.
Of those days.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
A Freestyle Friday here at the Horse Radio Network. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
You are just a big hot mess this morning. I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's August 10th, 2012, episode 464, and it's brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. So good morning, horse people.
I can't take it anymore. Thank God.
That's
it's
true.
Friday.
I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey.
We work all week so that we can eat and own a little piece of God's ground. Pushing papers and pens, red tape never ends. The stress can turn a smile into a frown. I need some horsing around.
All right, so it's Friday. Obviously, Glenn has already pointed that out by hitting wrong buttons when you've done this for, what did I say, 464 episodes? You hit the wrong button.
Kevin's staying up way too late watching Olympics. See, that's the problem. Thank
why
God
are
they're
you
over.
Staying up late? Please, it happens early in the morning. Don't lie to me. You've been drinking yourself to sleep every night. I just know it. So it's Friday, and this is like one of the most packed shows that we've ever had. There's so much going on today's show, and I would like to point out that I want to do none of it because as soon as this show is over, I'm going to Vegas, baby.
Oh, yeah? Is this for fun or business?
It's business to me, Glenn. Because when I sit down at that blackjack table, my friend, it is all business. That is all I do. No.
Great stand.
We're going to stay at the Luxor, the big pyramid.
That's a cool hotel. I love that
hotel. Yeah, it's awesome. They have good military rates. So, yeah, Chad ended up, apparently, to everybody out there, I would like to give a big shout out and celebrate Singaporean Independence Day. Woo-woo! Because that's why Chad has the day off. Because he's now in the Singaporean squadron, and it's a holiday for them. So what better way to celebrate Singaporean Independence Day than he says, where do you want to go? Let's go somewhere. Let's get out of this heat. He goes, why don't we take the horses, load them up, and go up north and go camping with the horses? And I said, oh, honey, that is so nice. No.
Too much work.
I said, we're going to have to do things like right now. And by the way, it's been record hot, 115 degrees for this time of, in August. It's been record hot. So we're going to have to basically pack all the horses' food, get all the trailer cleaned out, get everything done outside, get everything ready, pack up the tack, pack up the food, pack up this, pack up that. Then we're going to get ourselves ready. And then I'm going to have to go get groceries and everything and pack up the trailer. Ain't going to happen. I said, so if you really want to escape the heat, take me indoors to the air conditioning and to where there's no sun. We're going to Vegas.
I was just going to say, you're escaping the heat by going from 115 degree furnace to another?
No, 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 honey, because Las Vegas, everything is about 72. Everywhere I'm going in Vegas is about, probably like 68. I'm going to need a jacket. I will need a jacket because I'm always cold in Las Vegas because it is air conditioned. It is Sin City. I said, we are just going to consume. I am going to consume to my heart's content. I'm going to lay, the coldest, the hottest I'm going to be is laying by the pool.
The Luxor, too, it's right beside, what's that right beside? The Excalibur and
everything.
Yeah. Yeah, matter of fact, you're right down by the airport at the Luxor, at the almost at the end of the end of the runway.
Oh, that's great. We can watch the, well, I won't even see an airplane because I'm not going outside except to go to the pool. If they had an indoor pool, I would go to it.
Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show? See, we got so much to do today.
On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, the final Olympic medals have been forked out. So today we move fluently back into our familiar frenetic Friday routine. First up, Brumby horses from down under for our breed highlight, followed by an auditory excursion to the Milky Way farm in Pulaski, Tennessee. Yes, Milky Way as in candy bars. And last but certainly not least, Really Bad Ads, the pinnacle of horse hilarity, provides the crispy burnt marshmallow on our proverbial campfire s'mores, because today is National S'mores Day.
I love s'mores. I think they're they're a food group unto themselves. Well, my daily winning today is a happy birthday to our friend Ann Svensson. She's a listener from Manfred, Sweden. Manfred, Sweden. So happy birthday. I also wanted to say, Jamie, I need to talk to you about this, that for some strange reason, we haven't figured out why, our numbers have almost doubled over the last 2 weeks here at the Horses in the Morning. So I don't know who's listening, but thank you for joining us.
We love
us.
You for we, it. We love you.
Yeah.
Is it because I'm not here as much?
I think it's probably, you know, I didn't think about that, but could be. Yeah.
That's great. That makes me feel good. That's fantastic. All right, my daily Winnie goes out, and we're going to chat about this. Not as much as we did with the eventing, and not as much as we did with the show jumpers, but simply because we can't pronounce any of their names. But our daily Winnie, my daily Winnie goes out to Charlotte Dujardin, because, oh, my gosh, could she be more lovely? She is probably one of the loveliest little girls I have ever seen. 26 years old, wins Olympic gold for her home country of Great Britain. She comes in there. She scores 12 perfect tens. 12 perfect tens in her Olympic freestyle. She goes in, by the way, wearing a helmet. The gold medal individual and team gold medalist, Charlotte Dujardin, goes in there and wears a helmet, performs this spectacular, amazing test, and then this is her quote after it is done. Here's what she says. Not many people are going to, oh, I should say it in an English accent, not many people are going to have the chance that I've had to get to the Olympics in a year and a bit of competing in Grand Prix to come here with such fantastic horse like Vallegro and win. It doesn't feel real. All I could do was do my best. Allegro was feeling tired, but he got in there and he gave it his all. He never let me down. He's the horse of a lifetime. Oh, God, I love her. I love her. She goes in there, she gets 12 perfect 10, and she's kicking butt, and she gives all the credit to her horse. Now, that is a girl after my own heart. And the girl that we talk to every week from Horse and Country, of course, Victoria Spicer, predicted it. She called it. She said Charlotte would win the gold.
She was
Remember
right.
That?
Did you know that one of the neat things about Charlotte is that she yeah, I'm going to dispel the myth of all of the press out there who keeps saying that you have to be a wealthy, filthy, rich person to do dressage. Charlotte is not. She actually started out as a groom in a barn and worked her way up through the system. And then Carl took her under his wing. And actually, it's Carl's horse that she's riding. Allegra was one of Carl's horses. So so she, you know, she's just the average girl who had a dream and made it happen.
Yeah, and Carl Hester, who finished actually in fifth place, is her mentor, her trainer, and owns the horse. And how awesome is that of him? You know, he realized that Charlotte was actually getting along with Allegra better than he was, so he gave her the ride. You know, he's like, here you go. And that's just like, that's as selfless as they get. But first place finished with Charlotte. Second place, and I'll do these names, Glenn, because you always embarrass yourself. It's time for me to embarrass myself.
Hey, I know these names. I hosted the Dressage Radio Show last night.
Well, please do. Let's hear them.
Well, it's Charlotte Desjardins, and then it's Adeline Cornelison, and then it's Laurel Bechtolsheimer, and then it's Helen Blue Blue Blah, and then Carl Hester. Well, Helen, you know, the German girl.
Langenberg. Okay.
Something like that. And then Aggie Van Grunsven, of course. Dorothy Schneider, Christina Spray. Is it Spray or Spray or Spray? Spreck. Spreck, I
We're
think.
We're the
it
ones
is
that
German.
You know them.
And then Juan Manuel. I didn't see his. He was the one on Fuego who had a wonderful test. At the World Equestrian Games, it was such a hit, but I didn't get to see his freestyle, so I don't know if any of our listeners saw it and what they thought of it. But he is the one that really wowed the audience at the World Equestrian Games.
And you've skipped number 9, which was Edward Gal, and it was on Undercover. And then 10th was Juan Manuel Munoz Diaz on Fuego. That's a sexy name there, Juan Manuel Munoz Diaz on Fuego. That just sounds hot. I don't even know if Juan Manuel is good-looking, but I'm going to guess he is. I'm going to go Google him right now, because that is just an awesome name.
Now, there were two interesting stories, too, coming out of that. Is Anki had her horse, Salerno, who rode for the final time. That was the last test that horse will do. Salerno is being retired at this point. Anki's not retiring. Salerno's retiring. And then, of course, there was... poor Stefan Peters was not happy with his test with Ravel, and that was the last test with Ravel. Ravel will also be retiring, although he did say that he wants to do the freestyle once more to prove that he can do it correctly and that it was just a bad day for the horse. Americans didn't fare so well in this Olympics, did they? The British just wiped up.
Oh, they kicked butt. Now, I would like to point out that the Americans did not medal in any equestrian event, and that has not happened since 1956. So what happened to us? I mean, I am so excited for everybody that won. I was thrilled with the eventing. When you're a horse person, you just can't help but cheer on the other horse people in it, you know, whether they're from America or not. Granted, I would have loved to see Boyd Martin get the gold, but, you know, that's just me. So what happened to the Americans, Glenn?
I don't know. It was just not our year. And others, you know, had terrific years. As you said, you know, it was the British year. It was their year. You know, when you think about the dressage, that the Germans have won dressage the last 40 years. They have not been knocked off their mantle for the last 40 years. And here we have the British with a very young team come in and just knock them off. You know, it was, I'm sure the Germans are the Germans are thinking that, you know, that their dynasty might be over here and that they're going to have to work a little harder.
And that's what's crazy is the Germans win 2 medals in eventing and none in dressage. Like, and that doesn't happen. That's crazy.
Well, actually, they did win silver in dressage.
Oh, silver, 1 in dressage and 2 in eventing. Yep. There you go. So that's just not normal.
Not usual, no.
No. So I guess, you know, do the selectors go back and go, you know, we should have done this, we should have done that, or was there nothing that could be done about it? Should they have sent other people? You know, it begs all these questions, and I just have no idea what they're sitting here thinking right now, you know?
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't know either. And I'm sure, you know, there's lots of other countries in that ball game too that have been left behind here. Poor Canada. Canada just had some serious bad luck the whole way through. They just ended up with some, you know, it just seemed like, you know, that old saying, you know what happened? It happened to Canada.
It really did. Between the freakish, you know, everybody falling off or having really bad rides and eventing, except for Jessica Phoenix, and then in the show jumping to get basically spun out of there for one of the riders because there was some sensitivity on one of the forelegs, but it was kind of under question whether it was actually sensitive or they just kept poking it and poking it to make it sensitive. And then what happened with Canada and dressage?
Yeah, they didn't show well. I mean, they didn't do very well at all. Matter of fact, I don't think Canada had anybody in the final round. Maybe one. I'm trying to remember. They didn't have many even in the final round there in dressage yesterday. It was a tough year for Canada.
Yeah, really was. Sorry, guys. You know, it's a tough year for us too. We didn't medal.
However, we have medals in some very. I have to bring this up. See, we got to talk about this on Wednesday because you weren't here. I got to spend the first 5 minutes talking about guy favorite sports like beach volleyball, where we did medal first and second in beach volleyball. Just saying, in the women's side.
Oh, isn't that exciting?
It was hugely exciting.
Yeah,
girls soccer. We got gold in girls soccer, which
you know,
I watched.
I feel like
that's
all I've watched is girl sports on NBC. Every time I turn it on, it's like girl volleyball or girl soccer or the ever so exciting. I think I watched a new sport, and I learned about a sport, Glenn, that I cannot believe, number one, is a sport, and number two, is an Olympic sport, and number three, is still an Olympic sport after all these years. And these girls that do this sport train 10 hours a day. 10 hours a day. I don't want to do anything for 10 hours a day. Glenn, when was the last time you did one thing for 10 hours in one day?
ADD does not allow me to do that for more than 10 minutes at a time.
Exactly. So imagine being a synchronized swimmer. Oh, that would suck. They train 10. The Russian girls train 10 hours a day to be synchronized freaking swimmers. Who cares? Like, who wants to do that? I'm going to flip upside down and stick my legs out of the water and, like, move them around. Great. 10 hours a day, really? Oh, ridiculous.
There were two. They have strong lungs. There were two sports yesterday that stuck out for me as ones that I didn't know existed, and that is BMX bike racing. Did you know that BMX bike?
We saw that too. We're like, this is an Olympic freaking sport? Are you kidding me?
I said the same thing. And then the other one was marathon swimming. You know, I knew they had swimming in a pool, but this was marathon swimming like in the river. And when I tuned in for the 2 seconds, by the way, watching marathon swimming is not very fun because it's all just a bunch of hands coming out of the water. You don't really see anything. So we're watching this group of hands coming out of the water, and I'm saying there's two things that struck me. One is the announcer just said, well, they're an hour into their two-hour swim. And I'm going, oh my God. And then the second thing was there were like five little boats going right beside them. I said, do you think there's people in those boats counting the number of hands coming out to make sure that one just doesn't go under and stay under? How would you know one didn't just get lost and drown along the way? I mean,
do they have like GPS tracking attached to their swimsuits? That sounds awful too.
Marathon swimming. I didn't know that existed.
Yeah. I guess, you know, watching, the women, by the way, did really well in fencing. And then I watched, they said it was like 27 kilogram judo. Like, it's all these weight classes. And watching judo, first of all, they all have so much padding on that I don't even know how they judo chop each other because they look like they're going out in, you know, 10 degree weather with 6 feet of snow on the ground. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, Mommy, I have to go to the bathroom, and then you have to take all the clothes off. Like, what if they have to pee real quick? It doesn't happen. But there's so much on these judo people that if they get kicked in the belly, there's no blood sport involved at all. at all. I mean, it's like, yeah. Oh, kick and you hear a thud.
And I kind of think that whole, I saw the same thing. It's funny that we saw the same thing. Them wearing that chest protector sort of back thingy, and it looks like a suit of armor. And it apparently has all the sensors in it, and that's how they count the kicks.
Yeah, it doesn't sensor. Make it a very good spectator sport, though.
No, it wasn't. It was actually very boring. It was. I agree, it was very boring.
Now,
I thought,
finally,
this would be cool. We'll see them kick the crap out of each other. No, pretty much not.
I know. I thought it was going to be like, you know, when they're like judo chop, and they kick each other, and then they spin around, and they do it. Nothing. It was so boring. I wanted it to be like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, where they leap up in the air, and they're like, none of that. But finally on my rant of the Olympics, because this is so fun. I'm ripping these sports, but actually it's very entertaining. And clearly I sat there and watched hours of it. My new favorite sport. Oh my God. To be on it's a 10 meter platform, which is almost 30 something feet in the air. And to walk out to the edge and do a handstand on the very edge of the diving board, leap off with your arms and do like some double backflip twist and land in the water perfectly. Did you watch any of the diving? It's ridiculous.
Unfortunately, we had to, because every night at 8 o'clock they would show diving first. And, you know, I really liked the first 3 days, 12 hours of diving. But, you know, after that, I kind of got tired of diving. It was like, okay, I'm done with diving. Now, Helena, my co-host for Stable Scoop, she's a huge diving fan because she used to be a diver. She used to do that. I think in college she was on the diving team. So she loves that stuff. And the Chinese just ruled that. I mean, they just ruled that.
Oh, yeah. The Chinese rule lots of things because.
Well, again, that's that 12 hours a day of practice.
Exactly. You will practice or you will drown. Don't you feel bad, though? Like sometimes you realize that if this person in this country does not perform, they may get shot. Like, like, thank God we live in America. I feel bad for some people.
Now, the Russians, I heard, were handing out $1 million to any gold medalist. So that isn't a bad prize.
What? That's cool.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. Now, silver, you're right. You're often to Siberia someplace. But
yeah. Do you realize, did you notice, and I've been watching this, especially in track and field, because track and field is so exciting, and Usain Bolt is ridiculous. That guy is ridiculous. But in track and field, the person, and this is, I think this is true for all Olympic sports, the person who comes in gold is so unbelievably excited, right? And then the person who comes in silver is so pissed. I mean, they are pissed. But then the person who gets a bronze is like, I medaled. Oh, thank God I medaled.
That's
I almost
right.
didn't medal.
Just
and
made
so
it.
They're happy.
That's true. That is very true. Because that second place person just came this close, and the third place person's just so happy to be there. You're right.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
Well, let's take a break. We have to take a break for Question Collections Product of the Week. And then it looks like our guest from Australia finally figured out that it's 3 in the morning there and wasn't going to call us after all. So
I guess not.
We might have to talk about Brumby horses another time. But now, you did a very funny rant off air the other day that I would love for you to repeat on air. Do you mind doing your movie review when we come back quick?
Yes, I will definitely review the movie that... Oh, my God. Yes.
Okay.
Because it is an epic horse movie I'm going to review.
Okay. Hi, Glenn, back with you from the Horse Radio Network. I'm here with Debbie with the Equestrian Collections Product of the Week.
You know, I want to ask all of our listeners, doesn't it just make you crazy when your spray bottle just doesn't work? It either leaks or it breaks and you're squishing that thing and nothing comes out and you can't get underneath your horse. Well, I have the perfect product. It's the Kelly Just Anyway Spray Bottle Nozzle. For less than $2.50, we send you this spray bottle nozzle. You can put it in any spray bottle, you know, of the normal size that you use for your fly spray and stuff. And you can go underneath the horse. It works upside down. It works.
And it doesn't leak?
It doesn't leak. And, you know, it doesn't break. These things, I am always throwing them out and getting new ones in. And these are really, really good. We use them here, and we just think they're great. It's a 9-inch little hose there, but you can cut that off if you have a shorter bottle. So, you know, it works in several other types of bottles. And for $2.50, it would make the perfect little gift for somebody at your barn that's having a birthday or, you know, for a stocking stuffer as the holidays approach. It's just, and they're in stock too, so get them while they're hot.
Well, and it doesn't leak, right?
It doesn't leak.
Because that's the worst thing. You're in there spraying, you turn the bottle over to get the bottom of the horse, and it leaks all over your hands. And then you got to wash your hands. You got fly spray all over you. It's just, you know, it's one of those things we all have to deal with as horse people that I didn't know there was a solution for. So now there's a solution for less than $2.50. You might as well buy 10 of them and replace all your bottles.
Well, that's exactly right. And you can go on our website, www.equestriancollections.com, and just search for Just Anyway Spray Bottle, and it'll come right up for you.
Terrific. Equestriancollections.com.
Thanks, Glenn.
Jennifer has ordered me, Jamie, to buy about 12 of those to replace all the nozzles on all the bottles we have that leak when you try and spray upside down. So I guess I'll be doing that today.
Half the sprayers we have squeak and don't spray, and the other half don't spray. They just dribble.
Yep, it's true.
Yeah, I'm sold on that for sure. That one sounded great.
All right, movie did you see? This classic equestrian movie.
This is epic. So when I went back to Atlanta to visit my family, I hung out with my girlfriends one evening, and we were drinking wine, and one of my friends is like, oh, my God, you guys, totally for this night, I bought a horse movie that I found in the bin at Walmart, and it was only $4.99. I was like, it's a horse movie? She's like, yes, it is a horse movie. I'm like, I can't wait. I said, what kind of horse movie? She said, this is an award-winning dressage movie. A movie about dressage? What? And then I started reading the awards that this epic film has won. Okay, I'm gonna go through some of these awards, okay? Because, I mean, it hasn't won the Oscar per se, but who wants an Oscar? This one won the Best of the Northwest Bend Film Festival in 2008. The redemptive,
is that in Upper Canada someplace, like in the Arctic?
The Redemptive Storyteller Award Redemptive Film Festival in 2008. And it won, hold your hats, people, the honorable mention Best Feature Film Bayou City Inspirational Film Festival in 2008. Wow, these are some awards. This was a small film that was put on, I think, in Seattle. And apparently, because I had to do some reading, they did a casting call for actors in the local Seattle area. And this woman comes in, and she auditions for the movie. And she told them she could ride. Do you ride horses? Oh, yes, I have ridden horses a lot. She lied. Lied. Lied, 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 lied. First of all, girl, get a freaking hairnet. I mean, dear God. Put a hairnet on when you have frizzy blonde hair and you are going to a dressage show, please. Let me just read you the synopsis of this movie called The Dark Horse. It's The Dark Horse. And we're sitting there, we're like, this is going to be awesome. A movie about dressage. Woohoo! And I read the back. The Dark Horse is a dramatic story of struggle and redemption. Hearing the news that her father is suffering with dementia, Dana, a Seattle ballet teacher, reluctantly, by the way, she's kind of a fat ballet teacher. Dana, a Seattle ballet teacher, reluctantly returns to her childhood home on Orcas Island to discover that it is threatened with foreclosure. To save the farm and the family, she must tame her mother's wild and dangerous Frisian horse and ride him to victory in the year's biggest ever dressage competition. She also must reconcile her warring brothers and heal her broken heart.
I didn't see this horse at the Olympics. I guess wasn't the biggest competition, probably.
Let me read one particular sentence to you again. That she must tame her mother's dangerous Frisian and ride him to victory in the year's biggest dressage competition to save the farm. So this chick comes home, and she's teaching ballet, and she goes back to this, like, sad little apartment where she's all by herself, and she gets this message from her mom, like, you need to come home. Your dad is, like, a mess. So she comes home, and she sees that her brothers are fighting, and they're like, oh, I'm not going to come in the house if he's here. It's really, really bad. The acting is, well, it leaves something to be desired. I hate to rip on it when it was such an award winner. But the point is that then the trainer comes in, who, by the way, was her ex-boyfriend when she was a kid, and he broke her heart. Well, he starts helping her tame this wild Frisian. And by the way, the pig, they keep showing the Frisian standing in the field, and they're like, he looks out of control. He just looks wild. Mother, why are you having me?
Standing there eating grass?
Yes! That's all he did! And they go to lead him, and he, like, kind of like, you know when a horse gets a fly on the side and it, like, flips its head up? It did that once, and they're like, whoa, boy! Whoa! Settle! Settle, wild Frisian! It's so awesome. And when we were watching the movie, my friend Donna's like, listen, we're going to watch this movie. We're not going to make fun of it. 5 seconds in, she's like, oh, we are so making fun of this movie because it was terrible. So she goes to ride the horse. She, by the way, she didn't want to ride a horse because her mother put her on a horse when she was young, and she fell off, and she does not want to ride, and she thinks her mother tortures everybody by putting them on these wild horses. One little girl gets on like a pony and walks around and starts crying, and she's like, see, mother, you're torturing these children. Get her off the pony. It's terrible. So she's got to save the family farm. And to do that, she has to tame this wild Frisian, who's clearly a nightmare to deal with. She has to tame it and get it to this dressage show, not to win prize money, but so he will be seen, so then he can be sold, because some unknown price for this wild Frisian is going to save the family farm from foreclosure by selling it. So she goes to get on the horse. He starts trotting, and literally she falls off. Immediately. And this is not acting. This is just, she just fell off. And they got it on film, and they're like, oh, this is good. This is great. So she starts her family farm. By the way, she only has like a week to tame this wild Frisian who is trotting, and she's falling off. Well, within a week, by God, she gets that horse tamed. She takes him to that show. They're doing half passes and tenor pirouettes and tempi changes and everything. And then at the end of it, She wins the dressage competition, and all glory is hers. And they go back to the trailer, and she's sitting down, and she opens a beer, and somebody walks up to her and goes, is that your black horse? I'm interested. He looks like something I would like to have. So they're going to sell the horse. They're going to sell the horse and save the farm. The lady comes. She rides the horse. She's like, nah, I don't think so. He's not for me. And then they go home, and they pack up, and they move. And it ends.
So they didn't save the farm? Don't we know?
No! The brothers are still fighting. The dad still has dementia. She tames the wild Frisian, takes it to the show. She doesn't sell it. And they lose. And they move. And it ends.
Happy ending on that movie.
I was like, you've got to be kidding. It's over? You didn't even get a happy ending sitting through all that crap. And by the way, the music was so loud and terrible through the whole thing. It was like Irish guitar music. It's called The Dark Horse, people, and it can be yours for $4.99 at the Walmart bin. Look for it.
Well, out of 6 flakes of hay in a bale, what would you give it, Jamie?
Oh, my God. I'd starve to death before I'd give it a flake. Oh, good Lord.
All right, we're gonna get to our guest here, who's on, and talk about one of the most iconic farms here in America, and one that named after one of my favorite candy bars, the Milky Way, right after we tell you about Field Guardian fencing. You know, we use that on our farm, and we're going to post a picture. That's all I'm really going to say about it. We're going to post a picture on our Facebook page here immediately after the show that Jennifer took this morning of our Field Guardian fence doing its duty out there in the yard. because apparently one of our live oak trees decided to attack the fence today, and it was a vicious attack. But yet the field guardian fence held up, and we're going to show you a picture of that after the show on our Facebook page. Go to fieldguardian.com to check out all of their fencing products. But if you're looking for something in the poly tape or poly rope, then this is the fencing for you. And you're going to see how strong it is in the picture we post after the show today, after it took a vicious attack from one of our live oak trees here in Ocala, Florida. But in the meantime, we're going to talk about this lady, Lynn, is very nice. Her name is Lynn Golden, and she has agreed to let Jennifer and I move into a back corner of this property. We're going to set up a little studio for the Horse Radio Network. We're going to keep Beaker in one of the thousands of acres of pastures, and we're just going to live at this nice little house out there in Tennessee called Milky Way Farms. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning. How are you?
You didn't know you had to, like, find us a couple of rooms in the back corner, did you?
That'd be fine.
You could have a few rooms to spare. We could just live in the corner of your dining room, for God's sake.
Don't do it.
Milky Way.
Don't let him in. He'll never leave.
Lynn, this is so cool. Jennifer found this, and because this is kind of an iconic farm in Tennessee. It has Milky Way Farms. It has the name for a reason. Tell us a little bit about the history of this and the Mars family.
Okay. Around 1928, somebody had, Frank Mars was visiting the area and decided how beautiful it was, and it was also on a railway, which he always looked for his enterprises, and in 1930, he made a lot of money on the Milky Way candy bar. It was the largest in the world, I think, that year, and started buying up acreage in that area. And at the time that he lived there, it was over 2,800 acres.
Wow.
He had 80 barns and houses, and he employed over 1,000 people during the Depression in Giles County of Tennessee, which so a lot of people in the area still contribute to him that he saved the county during that time. It's we became involved with it. We bought it in parts over the last couple of years, and it's just a beautiful piece of history that we're thankful to own. We don't have a lot of the Mars money in restoring everything, but we're trying to do it a little bit at a time and protecting roofs on different buildings until we get to those. But it's a beautiful piece of property.
So your family didn't invent a famous candy bar then?
No, I wish. No. I love chocolate.
Now tell us, when you bought it, they had lived there for a while, and then like most of these grand properties, they go into disrepair and you know, they just languish for a long period of time. When your family bought it, was it in disrepair?
Some of the owners through the years had restored parts of the property and kept different parts of it up. There's still a lot of foundations of barns that the roofs aren't there, but it's really cool to see the design of how he built a lot of his barns with the landscaping or with the lay of the land, so they're curved into the hillside. A little bit of a European feel to a lot of the stone barns. He had his own quarry on the property, so there's stone everywhere that they that is from there. There was a crooked sheep barn that was in Ripley's, believe it or not. There's a lot of record-holding areas of the property, I guess. There are some barns still in beautiful shape. He had chandeliers in his barns, and he didn't want the horses putting their heads out the windows, so they all have windows or bars in different barns that he had. There's probably 6 huge barns in really great shape, and then there's a lot of foundations or barns that are needing work. We've done a lot of repairs to 2 of them, but it's really interesting. It's kind of like some of the barns when you walk in and there's old chandeliers hanging there, and it's all beautiful wood stalls that you just want to armor all and that look nicer than my kitchen table, I guess. But, it's interesting what he did with the property and his wife.
Now, yeah, you said he had 80 buildings on the property when he was there back in the early 1900s?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's documented that there's 30 different barns. And then
now, was he into racehorses, Lynn, or?
You know, he had some of the finest horses around. It's documented that he paid $25,000 and $35,000 for horses during that time. His wife, Ethel Mars, became more into racing after his death, and they had the Kentucky Derby winner in 1940 from the property.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
I
so Gladian did live there. Cool.
They had their race, their warning track, training track. I sound like an idiot, but their training track and everything and trained them there.
Now, do you guys have horses on the property now?
You know, it's embarrassing. We do not at this time.
We could bring our one horse. We could live in one of the barns. I'm looking at the pictures on the website. And by the way, you can just go to milkywayfarms.org. I'm looking at the pictures of the barn. Jennifer and I'd be happy to live in that one barn. It's beautiful.
Well, I would love to bring horses to the property. I live about an hour away right now, and I moved in high school, and it was hard. And so I have not moved to the property with, and so that I can leave my kids where they're in school.
Mm.
And so we don't have horses there right now. We just now are starting to have brought in cattle, and we're starting slow, but we hope to have horses soon. We have been getting trails ready, and people come and trail ride. And we have 20 miles of trails open now. For trail riding.
How many acres is it now, the property?
It's a little over 1,100.
That's a big piece of property. And the house is just, the dining room table must seat 100, and it is just beautiful. It looks like an old castle. It's
isn't that
beautiful.
Crazy?
Yeah.
So can people go in? I mean, you're looking at these pictures, but can people go in there and can they see the farm? Can they go to the farm? Can anybody bring their horses? What's the tie-in to those of us normal people?
we are doing tours of the property. We just have people either email or call to schedule tours. We do a lot of weddings on the weekends. Sometimes in the barn, sometimes kind of on the stone terrace of the manor house, and then they'll often have the reception in the manor house. And we're trying to, I would love to lease out one of the barns and get a horse industry going there just for the character of the farm to have beautiful horses there again. We're slowly trying to restore it to some of the amazing place that it used to be. There, Frank Mars had wanted to be buried there and built a beautiful stone area up on a hillside that you can see for miles. And there's so many pretty things that I missed through the, until you get on a four-wheeler or in a Jeep or on a horse and see the other parts of the property of what was there at different times. It used to have a lot of sheep and horses and cattle, and a lot of people that worked on the farm lived on the farm.
And I noticed, too, that you do on the website, it says that there's some trail riding clubs that come in on a regular basis and that you've invited the local trail riding clubs to come and use the property. That is really cool.
Well, we do want people to be able to use it. We still have to pay for the property, so trying to figure out how to make it open to as many people to use and still find ways to be paying for the property until it's kind of like owning a state park that's beautiful that you want people to enjoy, but you're still, having to make the note.
A labor of love at this point.
Yeah, we have some responsibility to be good stewards of it, I think, because of the history and because of
Make it a 501c3 and start getting government funding, and then you'll fix it up and everybody can use it. What a good idea.
We take all ideas and look at those. So I will look at the funding.
I have an idea for you. I have an idea for you that is going to make you guys millions and millions and millions of dollars. Because obviously we're talking about the Mars people, okay? If you take this idea to the top, I have a friend that works for Mars Candy, and I have thrown this out to her like 1,000 times, and she still has not gone to the bigwigs. And this is going to make you guys a million trillion dollars. I don't need any. I just want the candy bar. All right. So here it is. You've got the Snickers, right? And the Snickers is the chocolate and the peanuts and the caramel and then the nougat-y stuff, and then the chocolate is all the way around it, right? Well, I don't like the nougat-y stuff. What I want is if you take the Snickers bar and put the Twix cookie instead of the nougat, oh, my God, that thing will sell like wildfire. I'm telling you. I want that candy bar. Take it to the bigwigs at Mars. Give it to them and say, I want all the proceeds to go to the farm. Oh, my God. I'm so smart. Do you get what I'm saying here with the candy bar, Glenn?
Yes, I got it.
Replace the nougat with the cookie, and it'll be the perfect candy bar, the perfect treat.
You know, I kind of like that Snickers bar, too, though. So I think I would like them all.
No, you can have both.
You want to name it?
Have both.
Okay.
It's the Snicks. It's the Snicks. Without a doubt.
The Snicks.
Well, they seem to be doing something right. So.
Well, this is absolutely beautiful. I'm glad that your family did take it over and that you're trying to do the right thing by the property. Because so many of these old horse properties, especially in the South, and even the Biltmore was in the same thing. You know, it went into disrepair before, you know, the foundation took it over and has been fixing it up. I'm just so glad that you're doing that with such an iconic property as this is. And, I mean, there's a Kentucky Derby winner that came out of here. So,
one of the biggest long shots ever, by the way, Galahadian, 1940, won at 35-1. By the way, that is the fourth highest long shot of all time. So good for him. Good for him. Good for you guys. It's awesome.
I have a clip from the race on the website. It is interesting to watch it.
We'll put a link to the website on our Facebook page, and that is MilkyWayFarms.org. If you can take a look at it, it is an absolutely beautiful property. And thank you so much, Lynn, for educating us all on it. And good luck to your family in getting this fixed up and doing something good with the place.
Thank you so much. Come see us. I'll give
all
you a tour.
Thanks, Lynn. All right,
okay.
Terrific.
Y'all have
thank
a wonderful
you.
Day.
And we'll
maybe
get you
Twickers?
On a horse. And we'll get
I'm
you
sorry,
on a horse.
I didn't hear you. Oh, I would love to show you the trails on a horse.
Bye, Lynn.
Take care.
I just want the dining room.
Snicks?
I love the dining room. Snicks.
Should it be Snickers or Twickers or Snicks?
I kind of like Twickers, too. Trickles kind of work. Knickers. Jennifer says knickers. That's even better.
No, because then you don't get the Twix part in it.
Oh, true.
Dude, imagine the creamy nougat replaced by the Twix cookie. Oh, my God. Come on, people. That would be the best. Or put peanuts in Twix. Not the peanut butter Twix, but the peanuts in the caramel on the Twix. It'd be the perfect candy. Thank you.
Well, you know, I do have some peanut M&Ms here, and I'm going to go get some because we're starting a new segment right now called Supplements 101, and Karen from Kentucky Performance Products is helping us with that. So many people over-supplement their horse or don't know what to give, or their friend said, I give this to mine, you should give it to yours, and we end up giving them 5 supplements, and they only need one, or they don't need any, or they really need one, and we're not giving it. So
they
we
need
thought,
20.
You know? Yeah.
They need 20. I'm pretty sure. Ask Jet.
You... I bet you do over-supplement, too. Well, that's why we're doing this little segment, is to find out what your horses really do need and whether your horse is the one that needs that particular supplement. So we're calling it Supplements 101, and we're starting that now, and then we'll be back with really bad ads, everybody, right after this.
Hi.
Hi, Glenn the Geek here from the Horse Radio Network, and I'm here with Karen from Kentucky Performance Products with a sensible supplementing tip of the week. We're going to talk about omega fatty acids' role in equine nutrition. So, Karen, everybody hears about omega fatty acids, but a lot of us, you know, we hear about it, and then it sort of goes out of our brain, and we don't really absorb what they are or why they're important.
Right, and, you know, Glenn, I think it's just very confusing to a lot of people, and mainly because there's so many of them, and they have so many odd names. So I think the easiest thing is to just try to simplify it as much as I can for you. Omega fatty acids are considered essential fatty acids. And what that means is they are fatty acids that are required for a biological purpose in the horse. In other words, they're not just used for fuel or energy, but they actually have a purpose. And they are considered essential because the horse cannot manufacture them on their own. We have to provide them in the diet. And because of the way we manage horses nowadays, you know, we've kind of moved away from managing horses just with a fiber source. In other words, you know, it used to be horses just, you know, grazed all day out on the pasture and different grasses. They got a little bit of grain now and then, maybe at the end of the growing season, but for the most part, they're eating grass. And grass is very high in omegas, in the good omegas for horses. So there's two kinds of omega fatty acids. There's omega-3 fatty acids and omega-6 fatty acids. And horses need both, but they need them in the correct ratio. And if you look at the ratio of omega-3s to omega-6 in different feedstuffs, if we look at grasses, we see that grass has five parts omega-3 to one part omega-6. And since grass is really what horses would eat naturally, that leads us to believe that the ratio for omega-3s to omega-6 in a horse in nature would be more omega-3s than omega-6s. So does that make sense?
Yep.
On that so far? So what we're looking at is we don't really know. The researchers have not determined the exact perfect ratio of omega-3s to omega-6s in horses, but we know that they need more omega-3s than 6s. And we're looking at somewhere between a 3-to-1 to 5-to-1 ratio in the diet. That seems to be a good spot to start, or a good thumb rule. Unfortunately, because we've changed the way we manage horses over the years, we feed hay and we feed grain, and that has inverted the ratio. In other words, most of our horses are getting more omega-6s than they are omega-3s. If you have an inverted ratio, in other words, if you have more omega-6s than omega-3s, then you have more inflammation in the body than you normally would if you had a higher amount of omega-3s. So the omega-3s, as they move through the system, tend to be anti-inflammatory, and the omega-6s, as they move through the system, tend to be pro-inflammatory. Your horse can use either 3 or 6, and they will use whatever is provided to them, but the result could be either beneficial or not so beneficial to your horse. Now, your horse does need some of both, but that ratio is very, very important.
How do I then turn it around to get more omega-3s back in than omega-6s?
Well, there's a couple of things that you can do. Grass is absolutely, you know, again, it's what nature intended horses to eat, so it's a very good source of omega-3. So if you can allow your horse to graze for the majority of the day, then of course that's almost...
Which our horse would turn into a...
Exactly.
You could fly him across the sky because he'd be a hot air balloon at that point.
That's right. A lot of horses can't because we've improved our pastures so much. So using feeds that are lower in omega-6s and higher in omega-3s are something that you can do. Now, forages, both hay and pasture, will contain more omega-3s than omega-6s, so grass and hay is good for your horse, and we all know that, you know, that needs to be the basis of your diet. Some oils will contain more omega-3s than 6s. A lot of people are using flaxseed now, and flax is higher in omega-3s than omega-6. Also, the fish oils, and a lot of fish oils are available over-the-counter now through supplementation. In fact, we have one called Contribute that is it's a combination of fish oil and flax oil, and it provides a complete complement of omega-3s.
Okay.
It has an 8-to-1 ratio of omega-3s to omega-6s, and it contains the plant and marine sources of omega-3s. Now, there's been some palatability issues with fish oil. I don't know if you've ever smelled some of the fish oils that are...
Mm-hmm.
lots of horses will run to the back of their stall and just stand there going, oh, my right. God, Mom, what did you put in my feed dummy?
Some of the human pills are like that, too.
Ooh, yeah, you can really taste. So we do a lot of research with our product, and we got a fish oil that just on its own smelled pretty good, and then we've added some flavor, some cherry flavor to it that has made it very palatable. So we have very few horses turning it down. And like anything, you have to introduce it slowly and should introduce it slowly anyway to the horse. But we have very few horses that will turn it down.
Well, that's terrific. It's good to learn. I never knew about the ratio between the threes and the sixes. And, of course, you can find out more information on Kentucky Performance Products' new website. Has a terrific article on this. And we'll link to that in our show notes as well as on our Facebook page. Or you could just go to kppusa.com to find out more about omega fatty acids and the Contribute product. Just look under products.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading. Well, look here, boys, I got a pretty good rig. He's got a working trot and a short jig. He come off of the ranch where he's born and bred. The last of his blood, that old stud's dead. He's a little bit nervous inside the ring. Kids out back and ride him with a string. Of course, now, his feet needs trimming. Yeah, it looks to me like he's been foundered. Well, you seen that big skeeter bite on his neck? Yeah, they probably aced him. He's a little fresh. We ain't rode him much lately. Yeah, 8 seconds or less. He's got a pretty little head. Yeah, if you don't mind the looks of an ironing board. They say they just wormed him. Yeah, now you're trying to worm me. Well, they say you can ride him with any kind of bit. Yeah, as long as you wire his mouth shut. They say they showed him NCHA. Yeah, which means not coming home again. Or was it AQHA? Yeah, which means apt to quit hauling around. Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading. Well, look here, boys, here's one of a kind. He's as right as rain. If I'm lying, I'm dying. I'll make you a price. He's worth every penny. I wouldn't even sell him, but I got too many. He's King Ranch, Wagner, Doc Bar bred. They tell me he's smarter than Mr. Ed. I tell you one thing, he's a good rope horse. Yeah, that's how you have to catch him. Well, he'll jump right in your trailer. Well, that's good, because I seen him jump out of yours. Now, he's got all the wind in the world. Yeah, it's just coming out the wrong end. He's good at opening gates. Yeah, you brush up against one, he kicks it right open. Well, they say he runs AAA. Yeah, which means always awkward and aimless. Well, looks like he's got a little Arab blood in him. I don't believe I'd have told that one. Now, I'd say he'd be a good cutting prospect. I believe that's the first thing I'd do to him. They say they showed him NRHA. Yeah, which means never really had ability. Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. I tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. It's a horse trading. Come on now, you wear out a new truck trying to find a better deal than this. Ah, don't lose him over a few dollars. If it's not just like I said, you don't own him. I guarantee him, gentle and sound. What do you mean, why didn't I tell you
about that? He's got a little Arab blood in him. I don't think I'd have told anybody about that one. God, I love that song.
We hadn't heard the whole thing in a while. That's our bumper for Really Bad Ads. We hadn't played the whole thing in a while. I thought, ah, we got to play it. That's Dan Roberts, of course. You can find all of his music at oldbootsmusic.com. He's terrific. We love Dan. He does some funny songs.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Well, I guess, is Helena going to call in or not?
Doesn't look that way. So okay. We've had trouble today with getting people to call in. It's been one of those Fridays. See, it's Friday.
Well, then she doesn't get to talk about it. We get to talk about it because the battle continues. The battle continues, Glenn, in my household.
Which battle?
And
which battle?
It's the unspoken battle. So we were irrigating, and when we irrigate, we have to clean the pasture, and my dear sweet husband marches out there with me. We get the gator, and we're going to drive around the pasture, and we're going to clean the pastures. And we have the Equity fork. And then we have just the crappy red one. And, you know, he's just so impolite. He just grabs the Equity one and doesn't even ask me if I want it. Doesn't even ask. And just quietly picks it up and takes it out into the pasture. And then as he's doing things, I realize he sets it down, and then I go grab it, and I put the crappy red one in front of him, and then he starts using that one until I have to put mine down. Oh, I got to go pick up something off the ground. There's a rock in the pasture. I got to go get it, and then he steals the fork back from me, and it goes on and on. And dear God, if Jose is at the house, nobody gets it because the fork goes to Jose. First and foremost, because he will not work if he does not have it. Trust me. I have tried. I'm like, Jose, just get it. He's like, no, I know use that one. I know use that one. I use that one.
Jose approved. Equity Vador fork. Flexing fork.
Yeah. It's the flexing fork, and it's not the super skinny-tined one. It's the kind of one for, like, a more, you know, apple size. So you can pick up things in the pasture. And I realized, because what is the deal with those places in your pasture where the horses just decide they're not going to eat the grass and the grass gets really, really tall? Why do they do that?
That's the place. I always thought that it was the place where they peed and they didn't want to eat the grass. That was always my theory, was that's the pee spot.
Maybe they peed once there a long time ago, but I have like a yellow pee spot that everybody goes into the pasture. They're like llamas. They go to this one spot and pee in the pasture. And so there's like three or four different places where they just won't eat the grass. And so I take it, and every once in a while they'll poop on it, you know, and so you got to get the poop. And picking poop out of long grass is such a pain.
Oh, it's awful. It is a pain.
However, yeah. I realized with the flexing fork, you actually stick it in, and it's like when you are combing your horse's tail and you've sprayed it with Shoshin, and you know how the comb just like it goes in there and it kind of like just combs it all out the first time down. This actually combs and separates the tall grass. So I jam it in there and I lift it up, and the grass looks like it's been combed. Sounds really stupid, but it goes in the grass and it lifts it up, it lifts and separates. Kind of like a sports bra. It lifts and separates.
Now, that's a comparison that's never been done before. The Equity Vador fork and a sports bra.
Lift and separate, people.
By the way, Glenn Forrest is in the chat room and wants to know, in the divorce, who gets the Equity Vador fork?
Let me tell you what. He's going to have to take that over my dead body.
You we can have everything in the house here. I get the fork.
You can take your dang horse with you, too. I'm keeping my horses. You're taking your horse, and I'm getting the fork.
Well, that's you can check out the forks we're talking about are Vador forks that are produced by Equity Manufacturing. Go to equitymsg.com. You'll find the flexing fork and the motorized one, the shaken fork. You'll find them all there at equitymfg.com. Please do check them out. I realize they're a little bit more expensive than you're used to paying, but trust us, they're worth it. they're definitely, definitely worth it. And before we go on to really bad ads, I have to ask you how the vampire hunter's doing. I mean, the vampire horse.
His name is Edward, and he was named after Edward Ferris in the Jane Austen movie Sense and Sensibility because he's quiet and he's proud and he's intelligent. So there you go. He's not named after the vampire horse. However, I get that a lot. So he's awesome. I went to have a riding lesson, and I took him with me, thinking, okay, I'm going to take Jet for my riding lesson up at Four Peaks Farm with Barb. And I go up there, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to give him a ride along. And he's just going to go, and he's going to check it out. I ended up riding him for like 45 minutes. He was so good. He didn't scream. He didn't go crazy. Nothing. He was so calm. I love him. I love him so much. He's awesome. There you go. That's the update.
Well,
he's perfect.
His name is appropriate because there's a lot of women in this country that love Edward, too. So his name is appropriate.
Apparently not Edward's wife or whatever. She just cheated on him or something like that. Now I'm paying attention to stupid gossip because these vampire people. Good God.
All right, let's do really badass. And we kind of already played the intro, didn't we? We kind of played that already. This
if
one,
you
we
ain't met one by
minutes.
Now.
So we'll skip that and go right into really badass.
Oh.
Now, the winner today is going to get Rock on a Rope from Redmond Equine. Of course, that's the mineral rocks that we all absolutely love. And did you get your latest package from Redmond Equine?
No.
You have one
yet.
Coming. You have
oh,
one coming.
Yay.
So there should be a package coming, and hopefully one of the Rock on a Ropes, too. So that's what the winner gets today. You can find all of their great products at redmondequine.com. But this is actually one of their great mineral rocks with the 60 different minerals in it that they just drill the hole through the middle, and they put a rope on it so you can tie it in the stall and you don't have to, or on the fence, and you don't have to put it in a bucket. So it just makes it a little bit
easier. Ground. Yeah, that's
right.
Nice. Well, the first ad comes from Rachel Rosenthal. And I got to say that this is one of the best collections of really bad ads I've ever seen. I actually wanted four or five of them to actually be the winners. These are so good. It was actually, I changed the winner, Glenn, so we changed it. Rachel Rosenthal sent this one in. It's three-year-old gray stud. Three-year-old gray stud for sale. No papers, in quotation marks. Why is that in quotation marks? I don't know. Both parents were registered, but I cannot get papers on them, so I'm sailing him as grade. Cannon is 16 hands tall, half quarter horse, and half TB. He has had groundwork done. You can lunge him on the lunge line. He does really good. He has been started under saddle and takes the bit. No rider has been on him yet, just groundwork. You can pick up his feet, does okay in the front. He does not like his back as much. Loads in trailer. Stands for bathe. You can fly spray him, brush him, stand tied, etc. He needs a more experienced handler. He does rare sometimes after rolling in the dirt. What does that mean?
Does he roll in the dirt when you're on his back? I'm not sure.
He does rare sometimes, R-A-R-E. He does rare sometimes after rolling in the dirt. Has good stall manners. I have started him jumping a foot. He would make a great English, Western trail horse, barrel horse.
Put their foot out and he jumps over it.
He is a hyper horse, but once you start working him, he does calm down. Asking $500 for him, cash only. The more training he has, the price will go up. A good home is a must. He is a good horse, and I don't want to see him go to waste. Thanks so much. Now, with a trainer like that, dear God, they better really skyrocket the price because he is jumping a foot with no rider.
Now, the first mistake they made was they named a half thoroughbred Cannon. Okay, that's not a good idea because your destiny is there. That's not good karma for a thoroughbred.
Why on earth have you not castrated this horse? Seriously, geld him because let me get this straight. You're telling me that a three-year-old that's unbroken, that is still a stallion, is hyper when you start working him? What? That's crazy. That is just crazy.
Well, the next one was sent in by Gemma, and Gemma, thank you for sending this in.
This is so good.
Horse for Diamond Ring, $5,500 in American Fork, Utah. I have a purebred fox trotter that I would like to trade for a diamond ring. This horse came out of some world champion fox trotter stables in northern Utah. Which one? We don't care. She is 4 years old and one of the kindest horses that I have ever been around. I have had my two-year-old niece ride her without any problems. Very intelligent and eager to learn. She is very pretty and a great horse. Looking to get a nice ring for my anniversary that is coming up in about a month. Now, let me explain to this gentleman something. If you sell your wife's horse and buy her a ring, it isn't going to have the kind of effect that you had hoped. Just saying.
That's what I wanted to know. Is the man, or the husband, or the wife selling this horse? Like, if it's the wife, and she's selling her husband's horse because she wants a diamond ring, that's awesome. If this,
wait a minute.
If this is a wife, if this is a husband selling his wife's horse to give her a diamond ring, she's going to kill you.
I know. I thought, see, I immediately went, it was for the husband doing this. You know, I thought at first it was, I thought it was going to be an engagement ring, but apparently it's anniversary, so.
Think of it as the woman. Hey, you guys.
I love that. You know why I think it's the guy? This is why. This sentence right here, and I think you'll agree after I read it again. This horse came out of some world champion fox trotter stables in northern Utah. He's very dismissive of it, you know? It's a very dismissive. No woman would have written that.
Yeah, but no guy would say, she's one of the kindest horses I've ever been around, and I've had my two-year-old niece ride her without any problems. Why is your two-year-old riding a four-year-old? Stupid.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. Well, a guy would do that, though. So.
That's why I like it coming from a woman. Hey, you guys, I want a ring. I want a diamond ring, and I'm going to trade you my husband's horse because he won't buy me one.
Hate that damn horse came out of some foxtrotter stable.
Oh, I love it. The next one, Robin Donahue sent this one in. And hold on. Let's see. Oh, this one is this one should have been a winner, too. I mean, these are all so good. Great competition this week. Great stupid people out there writing really stupid ads to sell their horses. Great horse cheap. $100 in Caldwell. I'm going to read this. Like, I don't know where Caldwell is, but I think it's in the South. Don't you think it's in the South, Glenn?
It has to be in the South. Definitely in the South.
All right. This is how it starts. All right. Well, first off, I'm selling my just over two-year-old Turo-bred quarter horse filly. She is untrained and needs to be roped to be caught, and that's why I'm asking like nothing. But she will make a great track trail jumper or where you do a figure eight, like around the poles. I forget what it's called. Well, anyways, she... I had to start.
Read that part again.
I had to start over. This is not a winner. Robin Donahue. This is great. All right, well, first off, I'm selling my just over 2-year-old Turo-bred quarter horse filly. She's untrained, and she needs to be roped to be caught. And that's why I'm asking not nothing. But she will make a great trail, track, jumper, or where you do a figure eight, like around the poles. I forget what it's called. Well, anyways, she just needs the time and effort put in. And she'll do wonders for $100. Come get you a great horse. Oh, and don't call me if you have no trailer to get her in or if you don't have your setup ready yet, because I don't have time to be messing around with buyers who aren't ready for a cheap $100 horse. Oh, number. Call it.
God, that should have won. Although the next one has to be one of my favorite ads of all time, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to get through this without just losing it.
Call it.
Dawn Bean, I honest to God, when I read this morning, cracked up out loud laughing. It's one of the best ones. Dawn Bean, thank you for sending this in. Ugliest 1973 Chevy three-quarter pickup truck in town. She runs like a racehorse. maybe the ugliest 1973 Chevy three-quarter pickup truck in town, but look at the rest of this ad closely. Don't laugh at the pictures. She ain't pretty, but she's one hell of a truck. Runs like a dream, but needs body work. No dents or tears, but just some out-of-state rust. Love that, out-of-state rust. It hasn't been on the road for over a year. I used it in my small construction business that went out of business after Obama was elected. Got that shot in. I hung on to her thinking I may go back to work, but gave up and retired. The overload springs take it up to over a ton rating. Two 20-plus gallon gas tanks. Air conditioning does not need repair. It doesn't have one. I said it was an out-of-state truck. If you need a pansy-ass air conditioning, this truck ain't for you.
Pansy-ass air conditioning.
Pansy-ass air conditioner. You got
it. I hope this person doesn't live in Phoenix, because you will die. It doesn't say where the
ad is from. Has a rear bumper extension for a camper. One dumbass with, I love this one too, you're going to love this, has rear bumper extension for a camper. Now, that's the bumper that sticks out a little too far. One dumbass was tailgating. Betsy takes that serious. When I had to stop suddenly on the highway for a passing 6-foot coyote, the dude driving the 2009 Caddy got too close and his grill got pushed through his radiator. Betsy didn't get a scratch. I was hoping for a new paint job. No radio, but new windshield with built-in antenna if you got one around. I love this guy. One dumbass. Ideally, this would be a great truck with someone having the time to make it pretty. By the way, he was stopping for a passing 6-foot coyote. You know that dumbass was tailgating his beautiful pickup truck, and he was going down the highway at about 70 miles an hour, and there wasn't no coyote. He just thought, I'm going to slam on the brakes and say there was a 6-foot coyote, and I'm going to watch this dude driving the 2009 Caddy go right up my ass, and my truck's going to be fine. That's exactly
and
what
I'm
happened
I'm going to get a new paint job.
You'll listen to Penny. Ideally, this would be a great truck with someone having the time to make it pretty. Oh, by the way, he adds a letter to this. He says, my letter to Santa, I want a carport, stick built on site or manufactured, I don't care. I will buy the materials and you put it together. 6-foot fencing will consider all types up to 5,400 feet.
Good luck.
Electric utility vehicle like a golf cart, a pontoon boat, or lumber. He's not picky. And oh, by the way, he says he is known to take cash. One of the greatest lines of all time has to be, air conditioning does not need repair, doesn't have one. I said it was an out-of-state truck. If you need pansy-ass air conditioning, this truck ain't for you.
This has got to be Phoenix, because nothing rusts in Phoenix. Because, obviously...
I'm saying it's insane.
That was awesome. So, Glenn, I'll do this one, you do the next one, and then I'll do the winner. All right. Okay. So, Marguerite Glasgow sent in this one. And it is a red horse trailer for sale, trade, or best offer. And let me just tell you something. It's red. It is red. Little red horse trailer for sale, trade, or best offer. Bought this trailer a few months ago and haven't used it once. Need to sell, clean, and nicely made. It is a one-horse trailer with a secured top and can easily be covered, with a tarp? How can you cut? New tires and light attach, asking $700. It is a one-horse steel cage. Red. That is what this thing is.
You have to admit, it's kind of cute. You know, you plant flowers in it, it'd be great. Put it in your front yard, plant flowers.
It's not as bad because it is kind of cute, but you'd be a crazy horse to get in that trailer. One horse, look how narrow it is. It's like 2 feet wide.
There's a thoroughbred up above that would probably love to get in that trailer.
Jump right
out of that farm. It's a crazy trainer lady. All right, the next one was sent in by Biz Sam and Mel Donald. Both sent this one.
This is a winner, too. Oh, my God. I mean, this is just awesome.
Let me see. I got to just... Two paint geldings. This has to be New York, Corning, New York. And thank you to Biz Sam and Mel Donald. I don't know how Mel Donald, she lives in Australia, found this ad, but she must have been looking through our Craigslist. Two nice pink geldings has been used on ranch. Anyone can ride. Kids safe, hubby safe, willing to trade one for a boob job and the other for liposuction. Must be licensed MD with clean clinic. Please help. We've been doing this for a year and a half or 2 years, and we have never had a boob job. We've had so many people want to trade so much stuff, but we have never had anybody want to trade a boob job. Ever.
I'll give you a horse for lipo. Pick one. Take whichever one you want. No, what I like about this, Glenn, is, yes, we've never had anybody trade for a boob job or for liposuction. However, you must be licensed and you must have a clean clinic. No backyard boob jobs, okay? No in-the-truck boob jobs.
If you have a dirty clinic, don't call. She doesn't want it. She doesn't want it.
Only clean, licensed doctors that want to trade for paint horses. Then you didn't say anything about the horses.
How many plastic surgeons out there do you think really want a couple of paint gullies? She's really narrowing her field. I would say that.
Yeah. That is so much. That's
wait,
so good.
Wait. I take that all back. She's in New York. There's a possibility. She's in New York.
Seriously? That's New York? Wow.
Yeah, Corning, New York. Yeah.
Doctors in Manhattan always need paint horses.
There was some
awesome.
Damn good ads.
That's great. Now, this is our winner. Although, you know what? Oh, my gosh. There were so many great ones. There are so many great ones. But this is the winner for today. It goes to Denise Raymond. Denise Raymond, everybody. Sending in neutered gelding needs home. $600 in Ridgeville/Dorchester.
Before you go any further, I'm a horse husband. I don't always understand the lingo. Aren't all geldings neutered?
Well, first of all, you say a neutered gelding. Like, that's double, right? I mean, he's a gelding. Yeah, neutered gelding.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
This is not just you being a horse husband to not why you understand. I still have my male horse gelding for sale. He has been castrated, but he still acts studly. Studly. He is about 8 years old. His teeth were flooded in January 2008.
Stick those in there and flood those teeth.
And he gets his feet filled every 4 months.
The same hose.
Are you bragging that you don't shoe your horse until 4 months? 16 weeks? Your horse goes 16 weeks? Oh, my God. Okay. He's about 8 years old. His teeth were flooded in January. January is spelled wrong. 2008. He gets his feet filled every 4 months. I rode him, R-O-A-D. I rode him 3 times last year, and he did real good. 3 times in a year? And he did R-E-E-L good, Glenn. I knee-shirt him, and he is 15.6 hands tall. This can't be a real ad. I knee-shirt him after he got his teeth flooded and his feet filled, and he's 15.6 hands tall. Okay. We need to get Karen from Kentucky Performance Products on the phone and see if this is healthy, because he is eating corn leaves out of the field next door and some other leaves and grass and gaining weight. He is about up to 480 pounds.
Oh, my God.
All right, this just got sad. Sorry, yeah. I do not have pictures, P-I-T-C-H-E-R-S. If you want to ride him, you will need to have your own stuff and riding gear, G-E-E-R. Okay, this just got awful. I didn't read ahead that he is 8 years old and 15.6 hands tall, and he's up to 480 pounds. I don't understand.
He's eating leaves. Leaves is what he's eating.
Eating corn leaves out of the field next door. Wow, that's terrible. Denise Raymond.
I wonder if the farmer knows
that, by the way. Right. That's awful. If there was a phone number, I would call it. I would totally call it and be like, why? I need to ask you some questions. He's castrated, but he still acts studly. He was flooded in January of 2008, though. That is 4 years ago. You had his teeth flooded 4 years ago, and he gets his feet filled every 4 months. We just
let's put the Horse Radio Network funds together and buy this horse. Let's just go ahead and do it.
It's only $600. It's in Dorchester. I don't know where that is. Do you know where Dorchester is?
I'm going to Google it. I'm going to Google it right now. So, at any rate, there's your really bad ads. That's your winner. You win a Redmond Rock on a rope. Very exciting. So, there you go. Enjoy.
Thank you to Denise. And thank you, everybody. What a great bunch of ads this week. If we didn't use your ad, we apologize. There were so many this week. Picked out the best ones. And get your ads in for next week. We'll be doing it again next Friday. So send your really bad ads into Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. By the way, it takes you 2 minutes. Just get on Craigslist, 2 minutes. You've got a really bad ad, just send it in. That's all it takes.
It changes everything, Glenn. It changes everything. Ridgeville, Dorchester is South Carolina. South Carolina.
You should have read it in your southern accent.
that's awesome. That was just awesome. But I got to say that.
Well, you have a great time in Vegas. Have a good time. Would you play a blackjack hand for me, too, please?
Only if it's a losing hand and I get to collect my money. Glenn, you owe me $427 because I lost that in blackjack, and it was your hand I played.
Have a great time, you too. I'm sure you will over there at the Luxor.
I will. Thanks, you guys. Have a great weekend. Spay, neuter, and geld, people.
All right. We'll be back on Monday morning. It's in the morning at 9 a.m. We'll see you then. Wear your helmet. Try to see John dancing.
Let's see. What, you want red 42? Red 42. $5 on it just for you, Glenn.